Well, to all of you that have gathered here this evening, those of you that are loved by God and have called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our epistle reading for this evening comes from the words that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the Romans. And it is when that Holy Spirit does inspire authors of Holy Scripture, he also works through their personalities and their writing styles. And the Apostle Paul had an obsessive, compulsive streak that was in him, and he loved to make lists. And there are two lists that you find in this evening's epistle reading. The first one is a list of the things that our enemy might use against us, such as tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and finally, the sword. Paul follows this list by telling us that our enemies regard us as sheep to be slaughtered. Sometimes the enemy uses these things against us directly, but there are other times when he's more indirect. Maybe it's a relative or a friend who is in the armed forces, and they are threatened by danger or by the sword. All these things in this list are a result, we know, of sin that is in this world. If we are to endure those things, then, if we're to experience these things with our souls intact, someone must conquer sin. And so the question this evening is, who do we trust to conquer our sin? Oftentimes, we trust in ourselves to deal with sin. We often mess up the standards of justice and so believe that we can somehow pay the penalty for our own sin. So I thought this evening it would be interesting to take some of that reasoning that we use with God, and we're going to try it out on a traffic officer. I would like you to imagine now, and it's not too hard to imagine, you're on I-25. And it's a highway, of course, we know, that goes to Denver. Mr. Geiser, do you know what the speed limit is on I-25 normally? 75 miles per hour, yes. But as you well know, we enter these construction zones on I-25. And what happens to the speed limit? It drops down, usually to 50 miles per hour. But we don't notice that. And suddenly we look in the rearview mirror, and what do we find? Little lights flashing, spinning around, and we realize that we're going to spend a little time with one of our Colorado State Troopers. So let's try some reasoning that we would use with God on this officer of the law. One of the ways that we try to conquer sin is to compare ourselves with other people. So, you might say, well, I'm much better than certain people. I'm better than, for example, Vertus Einspar. He only attends church on Christmas and Easter. And I might also point out, unbeknownst to Joyce, he gets drunk once in a while. You know, I am much better than he is. So we're going to try this logic with the police officer. Officer, I noticed that many of the other drivers were traveling much faster than I was. I bet some of them were even going over 80 miles per hour. Why don't you stop one of them instead? Actually, this happened to me one time, not on I-25, but on Highway 34 going through Fort Morgan. I was late to school one morning. I had my three sons in the back seat of the car. Speed limit's 30 miles an hour, and I happened to be doing 45. And, of course, the officer stopped me. Sir, you were over the limit, and I have to give you a ticket. Please sign here on this line. Well, of course, my three sons were small at that time. They were scared to death. And I was very well relieved when the officer left because he didn't take me off to jail, which would have been probably a traumatic experience for them as well as myself. It's that officer who does not compare us with other drivers. He compares us with the law. And in the same way, God does not compare us to other sinners. He compares us also to the law. Here's another defense that we often hear, and maybe we have even used this against sin. And it goes something like this. I know that I mess up sometimes, but most of the time, I'm pretty good. I mean, I haven't killed anybody, and I haven't stolen anything. The good cancels out the bad, right? Basically, we separate our works into a good pile, and then we have those that are in the bad pile. And we figure that if the good pile is bigger than the bad pile, then we're in good shape. And then God will let us come to heaven. Well, let's try that logic on the police officer now. Officer, I drove all the way from Greeley without breaking the limit. I'm basically a good driver. You can check my record. I haven't gotten a ticket for a long time. I just missed the speed limit sign, that's all. You could let me off with a warning. Sir, you were over the limit, and I have to give you the ticket. Please sign here on the line. You see, it doesn't make any difference how long we drive without getting a ticket. If we speed, then we are speeders. And when we get the ticket, we're guilty until we pay that fine. Well, in that same way, it makes no difference how much good we do. If we sin once, we are sinners. We are guilty until we pay the penalty. And there are other ways that we try to convince ourselves that we can escape the penalty of our sins. They're all as silly as the two examples that I've used with this state trooper this evening. But why do we think that our excuses will work before God when they don't work before earthly justice systems? We try these excuses in desperation, that's why, because the truth terrifies us. Most of us know deep down inside that we are guilty. We have sinned against God, not just once, but more times than we could possibly count. And we know that the law does condemn us. We know this is true because we can see the results of sin in our lives. We do have tribulations in our families. We do have tribulations at our jobs and in our communities. There are people that will persecute us. The news headlines constantly tell us about poor people who don't have food or clothes. And it seems like if you live in Denver, the police are there to move you off the streets in recent times. Those headlines tell us all about the danger that there is in the world. And then we see places around the world that are at war with each other. We are not conquering sin. It is sin that is conquering us. And then the Holy Spirit, in our reading, inspired Paul to write these words from Romans. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And you look at that passage and other passages in Scripture, it's pretty plain from the Bible that are, and from our own observation, that we are really totally incapable of conquering our sin. So, we've come together this evening, and we find out we can't conquer our sin, then who can? And the answer is in this evening's epistle reading. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. It was God the Father who had worked out our salvation through his own Son, Jesus. He sent his Son into this world to save it. And it is because Jesus is God, he was able to fulfill the law of God. And Jesus was also a man, and he took the punishment for our sins unto himself. It was he who shed his holy precious blood for us on the cross. His innocent suffering and death is what paid for all of our sins. And we know that he succeeded because God the Father called him up out of the grave, and Jesus rose from the dead. And where did he go? He ascended into heaven, and he now is there speaking to the Father on behalf of each and every one of us. It is Jesus who gives us our salvation. So who do we trust? You know, without faith, we trust ourselves. After the Holy Spirit gives faith, we trust Christ. Trust ourselves, and the Ten Commandments will condemn each and every one of us. But if we trust Christ, the Ten Commandments become our guide. Trust ourselves, and trouble conquers us. Trust Christ, and trouble builds our faith. Trust ourselves, and we will suffer alone forever. But with God's gift of faith, we can celebrate with him, not just now, but forever. And so the devil, who is our sworn enemy, he continues to send tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword against us. But God now uses these things to strengthen our faith. It is through Jesus Christ that God has given us the power to survive these things. And so as we gather here this evening on this New Year's Eve, we know that this coming year will force us to deal with these things. But God has given us his word of comfort through the Apostle Paul. Again from Romans and from the passage this evening. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The answer to that particular question, Pastor Hesse, is what? Jesus. Will those things bother us? The answer is no. How do you say no in sign language? Oh, I can do that with my wife. No. Okay. Terrific. No, it is. The answer is no. Because in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As Paul goes on, he says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This coming year, all of us will face challenges. They will certainly be ahead of us. But we need not despair. Why? Because the bonds of love between God and us cannot be broken. And that we can take to the bank. We can count on that for sure. And not just for this new year to come, this new year 2017, but for all of eternity. And so we enter this new year knowing that God loves us, he continues to love us, and he is with us throughout this coming year. In Jesus' precious name, the people of God said, Amen. And now peace be with you, my brothers and sisters, and love with faith, which is from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.